You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. In-kind support for KDNK comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
And I'm Louie the Computer Guy.
Excellent.
First Monday of the month.
First Monday.
We should have lots of things to talk about.
Yeah. As always, you can call in with your questions, comments, or point of discussion, whatever you'd like.
963-2976.
2976. My brain went blank there. 970-963-2976.
You know, in the theater business, you know what they call that?
Wiping out?
It's called
breaking a leg?
It's called going up.
Going up?
Yeah, because when people can't remember what to say, they look up.
Uh-huh.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I actually, when I was doing a show last fall, I had an instance of going up. And it wasn't even one of my more difficult lines. It was just, you know, I just, all of a sudden, like, I'm just talking along, and it's like...
Gone.
And, goodbye. And if I could have said something, I would have said, I got nothing. The only good thing is it seemed like about 20 seconds to me.
Yeah, it's probably 3 or 4 or 5.
It was only 3 or 4 seconds for the other people on stage. And after I got off stage, I said, I'm really sorry about that. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're like, yeah, you were a little bit deliberate in the way you delivered that line, you know, but so.
You paused for dramatic effect.
Yeah, exactly. Right in the middle of a sentence, you know, where it, in a place that didn't make any sense at all, you know, so.
Even more dramatic.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, hey, so let's see. SpaceX, their unmanned vehicle, which is called?
Dragon.
Crew Dragon, isn't it? Or Dragon Crew.
Something like that.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I watched Scott Manley thing on it this morning. He does all kinds of space stuff on YouTube. So he went through all of it. And
it linked up with the International Space Station. That's pretty awesome.
And if you want to, you can go and download the coupler diagram and build a coupler for your for your rocket to connect to the IIS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the schematics are available online.
Got it.
It's an open standard.
Mine would be really ridiculous because it would like have to join an Estes rocket to the space station. I mean,
that's going to be a lot of Estes rockets.
A lot of step down, you know, on that thing. So it's, So
pretty neat that the private sector is able to do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so I got an email that the Model 3 has they've come out with a $35,000 Model 3.
Really?
Yep. So, of course, I immediately went to see just exactly how I was going to liberate myself from the loan on my current vehicle, only to find out that I'm upside down on my car right now. So. Ain't going to be happening for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
yeah, the car industry is going to be interesting. I think they're in for a rough ride, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, my next door neighbor went and bought one. And so I've just like immediately went into got to keep up with the Joneses mode, you know? And, he found out an interesting thing cause he was like getting ready to buy one of their, charging pedestals to put in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, just for grins, could I see what's inside of it? You know, and the guy's like, oh, sure. You know, he like pulls 4 screws out of the back, you know, there's nothing inside of it. It's just a logo, and a special, it just basically converts your 240 into the special Tesla plug is all it does. And it's got a cool logo on it and it glows, you know?
Ooh, so it's got a little something going on.
But it's pretty expensive. It's like several $100, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
speaking of open source things.
On top of your electrician's fees, you know, next thing you know, you just spent $500 for a really cool glowing thing to go in your garage.
Yeah, because it's just a standard 50-amp feed, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's that's what he said. He said there's nothing inside of it except for a light bulb. You know, so,
yeah, I'm surprised they're not doing the rectification or anything in there.
Yeah, it's cleverly hidden. You know, he said that it doesn't look like there's anything special about it, you know. So and he asked him, he said, is it going to hurt my car if I just have my electrician, you know, splice this you know, connect this connector on. And he's like, no, it's like, that's what a lot of people do. So
I'll have to remember that if I get an electric car.
Yeah. You see Volvo's come out with electric cars.
Oh, I think a lot of them have at this point. Uh-huh. So I haven't seen, what's the Volvo one called?
Oh, I can't remember. I guess we should Google it, shouldn't we? Yeah. You Google that and I'll talk. No, I'm just kidding. 963-2976. If your printer is not working out there, we know who you are and we know exactly why that's happening. It's because of something that we did here at the Geek Control Center.
Yes.
Central. And so if you call, we'll unlock your printer for you. And if you have received any phone calls from a gentleman claiming to be from the internet,
Or from Microsoft. Actually, I had an Apple one. I spent about half an hour messing with somebody pretending to be from Apple iCloud.
Oh, okay. Nice.
The other week.
Yeah.
So that was actually quite a bit of fun. So I quickly fired up a standard user on one of my Macs and was like, okay, well, where do you need me to go? Okay, well, ended up using Log Me In. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll load it on, and to made sure I had plenty of trouble doing it and stuff.
It's on your dummy computer, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
So I load it up there, and I get a pen and paper, and I write down the call number, and I try to get a callback number from them. And, so they were spoofing a legitimate Apple repair company in the Las Vegas area.
Okay.
So if you call that number, it says, yeah,
Thank you
for calling so-and-so Apple
Store.
Puts
you into somebody's phone tree. Okay.
Well, no, it says, well, we're aware that somebody's spoofing our phone number. And,
oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. And nice. I got another one, and there was a, the other callback number was for a similar company in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of, but I ended up getting the session codes for it, and I called the remote the remote vendor, like TeamViewer, I think it was Go to Assist.
Okay.
Anyway, I gave them I called them and said, "Hey, I want to report some fraud."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, great! Oh, goody!" You know, it's like when did you do? When, you know, when was the call? What was the number? And I just handed them all the information. They're like, "We'll send this over to fraud immediately."
Nice.
So I'm hoping that I made them have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I am, you know, I really needed to hear that actually, because a couple weeks ago, so are you familiar with what's called the overpayment scam? Are you familiar with that?
I've seen variants of that one. Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, the way it works, and you know, this is to help our listeners out, you know, because any of our listeners who happen to have a small business or whatever who are advertising that they sell something, anything on the internet. Even happened to the distillery around the block, around the corner, the way the scam works is somebody will data mine your email address or harvest your email address off the internet, and they send you a solicitation for a quote. You know, they basically, it's like in this case, this guy wanted to buy 50 Intel i7 processors. Processor chips, and it was like a pretty, he exactly gave me the part number and everything, and it's one that retails for somewhere around $370. So you're looking at about a $15,000 purchase, you know, here, or you know, even more than that. And so I went ahead and you know, I smelled a rat. It was my first rodeo. I went ahead and wrote up a proposal. I inflated the price by about $150 per processor. So I was like looking to get $520, excuse me, per chip, for a chip that you can get off of Amazon for $370. And what do you know? He took it. He said, "That's a very nice price. Thank you for that bid. And we would like to go ahead and he submitted a purchase order to me and did everything, you know, very much by the book. And the way the scam works is, they go ahead and send you either a fraudulent money order, or they send you a stolen credit card number. And they basically have you go ahead and process the transaction. And there's, even in this day and age of real-time banking, there's still a 2 to 3 day turnaround time from when a fraudulent money order gets deposited into an account And it actually comes back as no funds available, or, you know, no such account exists or whatever. So the money temporarily goes into your account and sits there. And then they, but the money order shows up for like 15 or 20% more than the purchase order was for. And then they immediately contact you, and it's like, oh my God, we made a mistake. We're so sorry. And if you could go ahead and Western Union us the amount of the error back, so it's basically some sort of a certified currency.
Mm-hmm.
You send it back to them, whether it's a Green Dot card or whatever. And so if you go ahead and do that, and then a day or two later, your bank calls you up and says, oh, by the way, we got a little problem with this $22,000 check that you put in the bank a few days ago, and you're basically left holding the bag for the difference, mm-hmm. you know, on it. So the thing that I find frightening is that just so people know how local these types of things can be, the aforementioned other local business that was involved in one of these scams, the check was deposited at Alpine Bank in person by somebody. So that means that, you know, there's a local element to this. These aren't just,
so,
you know,
yeah, there's a local fraudster.
These aren't faceless individuals out on the internet necessarily. Somebody actually walked in and deposited a fraudulent check into their account at Alpine Bank. And, the gal that I work with basically said, yeah, I logged onto my bank and found out there's like $18,000 extra dollars in there, you know? And, that's, you know, just so people understand what that scam is all about, it's called the overpayment scam. If you want to Google it and learn mm-hmm. a little bit more about it, and it has a lot of different sizes, shapes, and flavors. But anyway, where I was going with this is that the guy that was perpetrating the scam on me, the name of his company is Maplewood Pictures. And www.maplewoodpictures.com. If you guys want to see a really good example of a completely fraudulent website that was constructed for no purpose other than to make people think that this jerk is legitimate, go to that site, check it out. It's like got all kinds of repetitive stock photo content. At no place is there a schedule of fees or any like information as to how to actually rent some high-ended camera equipment from them in the Seattle area. That's the idea. That's the ruse. You know, they basically are supposedly that's what they do. And so my disappointment is that I contacted GoDaddy about it and said, hey, you know, and so the mail account is hosted through GoDaddy and the website is hosted through GoDaddy. And I said, hey, somebody's using you guys to commit crime. You know, they're using your system to commit crime. And they actually have of all the things that GoDaddy will not police, they will not police you put up a website. I mean, you could put up a website and say, hey, we're the world's largest computer company, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't care. You know, you can make all kinds. You can make any claims
you want,
you know, any way you want to go about it. You know, unless your site is actually distributing malware or performing phishing operations, which means trying to steal people's personal information, unless it's doing those types of functionalities, they don't care. You know,
I wonder how that works with Frosta.
What's Frosta?
So it was recently passed. Let's see here. It may just pertain to human trafficking, though. I can't remember the name what it stands for off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, let's see.
Yeah, I called the phone. I looked up Maplewood Pictures and I called the phone number from the website, you know,
uh-huh.
and the guy answered the phone, you know, and played the part, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
I really didn't expect to get an answer, you know, or I don't know what I expected, but I got a little bit obsessive mm-hmm. about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, I want these guys to suffer. I want them to go down in flames. I want them to shut their website down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, so.
Well, see, I would see if they're registered with the Secretary of State in that state
mm-hmm.
and then make a report to ICANN saying that the DNS, contact information is fraudulent.
Okay. That's
because then they might that may force GoDaddy to take their domain away from them.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that right now.
So,
no, just kidding.
So anyway, check with see if they're a legitimate business within the state or,
yeah,
or, you know, somewhere on the internet. And then
I'm going to wager right now
that they're not.
That they're not.
Yeah.
Just so, a hunch.
Because I've done that before. Yeah. I've had these people send me to a website that was fraudulent. And I was like, well, you're not registered properly with ICANN. So I'm going to file a report with ICANN and see if I can nuke your website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
anyway, thank you for giving
me things you can do to,
to fraudsters. Thank you for giving me more things that I can do to waste my time to try and shut these dirt bags down. So,
and I had another one last month where somebody was impersonating a principal at one of the schools I work with.
Nice.
And so I was like, okay, hi, how you doing? And you know, of course, they respond back and they you know say, well, we need this or that. And he was like, well, I'm going into a meeting. I can't use my cell phone and stuff. And I was like, well, what's your phone number? I need to text you. And I tried to get all the information from them. But they screwed up and changed the name to another principal while they're in the middle of my conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a principal in Durango. So I look him up, call the principal in Durango and say, hey, well, I have this person from a Gmail address trying to, you know, extract money from me. And I was like, well, here's this, and you need to talk to your IT people. And, you know, eventually they stopped contacting us.
Uh-huh.
After I've emailed them 50 or 60 times asking them questions, doing, you know, saying stupid things like, well, I have $4.58 in my account, so I can't really help you out, sorry. And then they just they left me alone.
Wow. That's
but
funny.
It went on for several days.
So they just cold called you, just emailed you out of the blue?
Or? Well, they like emailed all the staff members.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they just figured they emailed the group. I didn't go into it that far, but
uh-huh.
But I think they tried to, they guessed and they sent it out to most of the staff members somehow.
Uh-huh. Wow. So I was kind of wondering, I had somebody try to strike up a text conversation with me, a complete stranger,
mm-hmm.
on Saturday night. And, you know, they just wanted to text, I guess. I don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's, there should be a name for that. Shouldn't there?
It's not that I'm aware of, but there probably is.
I mean, shoot, there's a name for, do you know what dipping is? Do you know what it means to like perform dipping?
Cover an IC in epoxy?
No, this is actually something that let me make sure that I'm right here. I'm pretty sure it means to no, maybe I'm wrong. There is a word that is basically refers to when you're playing Cards Against Humanity and you're like using your smartphone under the table to like Google a word that's on your one of your Cards Against Humanity cards that you don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, our rule,
that's against the rules, so by the way. You know.
Our rule, well, yeah. Our rule is if you don't know what it is, you have to Google it on your phone.
What, like out loud or?
Yeah, you just have to, if you don't know what the word is,
okay.
You just have to put that in your Google log and be like, I searched for something terrible.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. So yeah, there's actually a, and if anybody goes to Urban Dictionary and finds something really nasty about that, it was a total accident, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's called dipping. And, but I'm thinking there needs to be a special name for texting a complete stranger, you know.
It's, uh-huh.
I'm going to work on developing a word and see if I can get it in the dictionary, you know.
Yeah, I have a Spanish person that texts me every once in a while. I haven't responded to him in five or six years.
Uh-huh.
But every once in a while, I just get a random text, and I was like, I'm just going to delete you again.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, I'm not who you think you are. I am. Just, you know, go away. But they, you know, even several years later, they still send me text messages.
Exactly. Our number is 970-963-2976. If you have been texted by a stranger lately and you want to share some of the details, or if you've been caught dipping while you were playing Cards Against Humanity. So
I wonder, has anybody, on that note, has anybody got the, this is IRS agent so-and-so, call us at that number? I haven't had that one in a while.
I think we got a phone call.
All right.
Wow.
You're on with the geeks.
Oh, hi. I've had a couple of scam calls. Well, you just mentioned the ones with the federal agents. Well, I don't answer these calls, but they actually left messages on my phone that said local police will be coming to my door and such.
Wow.
It was very, and they left messages on my phone several times like that. It was very threatening, you know, and they, you know, they threatened local people were going to come get me if I didn't return the call or whatever.
Wow.
And then regarding the, that big scam, it just blew me out of the water. I was selling an antique set of rattan furniture for like $800 in San Diego. And the first thing they texted me was I needed to take my ad off of Craigslist because I needed to say it was no longer for sale, and they would pay me $50 extra. Well, they FedExed me a check for like $1,150, something like that.
Ah.
Whoa, what's this? And then they were going to send somebody to come and get it. And that was like, 6 or 7 years ago. But my friend recently was selling a loom that she wanted to get like $800 for. And the very same, the very same scenario where they told her to take the ad off and they pay her extra money. And you know, at the time I was so like, what? So I got this huge check in the mail, and right away I guess I must be suspicious. So I checked out the bank on there, and I went and Googled the bank, and it was a real bank. I actually called them, and they were just a ho-hum about it because obviously someone had gotten a hold of their checks, a blank book of their checks. And they weren't worried about it because they were going to deny paying any of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, that is their prerogative.
And so they actually, whoever the party was, she actually called me and said, how come you didn't take the check to the bank? I said, because the check is no good. I checked that out, you know. And she goes, oh, really?
Nice.
Hung up on me.
All right.
But I told this lady, don't go forward trying to sell your loom to this
Well, hopefully we saved some people some grief today by talking about this, because
it's kind of a
complex scam, and it's kind of hard to see, you know, it's hard to foresee just exactly how you could be getting scammed out of it, you know.
I know. And, how is the benefit to people? So. And do they really actually make money? They obviously make money because they're still doing.
Well, I actually know at least one person who fell for it and, you know, did send certified funds back and then basically had the check get returned and or get declined. And they ended up holding the bag for, you know, close to a grand, I think it was. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it does happen, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I could have fallen for it, but, you know. So I was supposed to get cash back out of that check, you know. And
sure.
So I'm trusting that my bank, which I've never had a great deal of money in my bank account, you know, so trusting that my bank will cash this, you know, relatively large check and give me, that wasn't going to happen anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for giving us a call. Appreciate it.
And thanks for what you do. Yeah. Okay.
Have a great day. Right. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me correct myself. It's called swooping. It's not dipping. It's swooping. Dipping you do with tobacco.
That was my first thought when you said dipping.
Yep. No, it's called swooping. Surreptitiously checking Urban Dictionary during a game of Cards Against Humanity because you have no idea what the card you just drew means. So,
I've always wanted to do the medical version. Have all the white cards be like, you know, hypoxia.
Oh, okay. You
know, necrotizing fasciitis and
You know, just plantar fasciitis.
Just all kinds of medical terms. So there's going to be a lot of swooping going on. Going, what is this? I mean, most of it's Greek. So
they give you a bunch
of
blanks. You just pull out a Sharpie and go to town, man. Yeah. That could make it very. I would like to have you over. We could do like medical cards against humanity.
I think that could be hemorrhagic fever and
And once you move through that, you kind of like go into veterinary terms and you know other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just get as esoteric as you possibly can, and you know, the point where nobody can stay awake. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah. So let's see. We've got one more minute. If you've got a 1 minute question, give us a call
or a 1 minute fraud story.
Yeah. Well, actually, we were talking about Waze, and we can kind of like circle back to that next edition. But I was talking to Matt about why will my GPS not tell me that I'm speeding? Because I'm one of those people that I can be a fairly inattentive driver at times, only from the standpoint that I'm going down Grand Avenue going 42 miles an hour in Glenwood.
Well, the lights are timed for 32, and the speed limit's 25, yeah. So it's like, yeah. And everyone's going 32 because they know that
you'll pay
a
price, right?
Right.
You know? So anyway. All right. Well, our listeners, thank you for tuning in. You've wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of your life listening to Geek Speak. So
you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Helps Desk. In studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For another exciting edition.
And I may have a guest lined up as well.
All righty. So bring them on.
So have a great...
Don't touch your knob.